My turn? All right, the music's done. I am here. Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, March the 15th, the 98th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, live from Fortuna. Kind of sounds like his own little talk show, doesn't it?
I Bob think Crane. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll just kind of nip that in the bud right now, okay?
Yeah, it's wonderful to be here. How about that?
There you go. And Bob didn't find a friend. He had to kidnap somebody from the company and bring her along. Are you going to defend that one?
Kidnapped is the correct word.
Oh, okay.
Yes. I agree.
This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time. Yeah, last time Bob was here, we talked a little bit about some of the light bulbs and some of the product stuff. But this time, we kind of thought it might be a little intriguing to talk about what's it like to be a national radio advertiser, some of the things that go into the decisions, some of the opportunities that you guys see out there. So this might be more of a radio junkie kind of a show rather than a engineering techie kind of a show.
Sure. People that love radio would love to hear this segment, I think.
There we go. Well, hopefully all four segments, but we'll work on that.
Well, you're listening already.
There you go. When we come back, we'll find out.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 416. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Mr. Crane.
Yes.
Et cetera. Sorry, Rosa. Yeah, et cetera.
Rosa.
But before we do, our quote this afternoon, Ides of March, but I'm not going to go there.
That's it?
No.
Okay.
This is from John Updike, sometime, well, after 1932. Quote, "A leader is one who, out of madness or goodness, volunteers to take upon himself the woe of the people. There are few men so foolish, hence the erratic quality of leadership in the world."
Well, I don't know about you, but I've experienced that in my lifetime, too.
The erratic nature?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do my best, though, and it is from the goodness. So.
Bob, what is the number one question people will ask you other than, are you the guy I hear?
That's usually a radio question, and it's something simple. What's that telescopic thing on top? Why doesn't it work better? So that's one of our number ones. And I said, do you like AM? Yes. Well, that antenna's inside your radio. There you go. And we've had some very intelligent people ask us that question. And we get it every day.
That's one of the standard ones, huh?
That's a standard. So the antenna is inside for AM. For outside, that's the FM. That's the chrome thing is for FM. And that's what we're on right now.
Okay. So you're right up there with the coffee mug dispenser, right?
Yes. So we get lots of questions like that. But, you know, we love radio as much as you probably do.
Is there a cause célèbre for being a national radio advertiser?
A cause
célèbre. Yeah, I mean, you don't use Rosa, you don't use me, you don't use a hired gun to do the voice. You actually do it yourself. So now people,
sure. I love it this way, Brian, because no one can see my wonderfully beautiful face.
So we are famous. Stunning face,
yes. Stunning. So we are well-known nationwide. We've been recognized in every state, everywhere we go, and it's quite astonishing how well we're known in the radio community, nationwide and actually worldwide.
Rosa, is that normalized for you yet?
Somewhat. I have had some individuals who will recognize the voice, but Bob is not giving himself enough credit. A lot of listeners enjoy hearing Bob on the radio and talk about his company and the radios and how we're here to serve them.
In the interview setting.
Yeah, and even just when callers call the company, they really enjoy hearing Bob on the radio.
That there is somebody there. It's called Bob.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
It stems from the fact that we did hire some really good talent, and that worked out really well until we got the bill quarterly. And I said, we can't do this.
The shock and awe thing?
The shock was like, I'm now a radio announcer.
Oh, well, you know, that's one of the things we talk about locally, you know, is get the owner to appear on the commercial. It makes it more real.
If they can relax and really say what's in their heart, and that's all they do is one little sentence and you guys do the rest, that's all they need to do to really make that transition to be successful on radio. And radio is probably the most powerful media in the world today, worldwide, and your station is excellent.
So how did you stumble into using radio?
Well, it's actually the short form was I listened to KGO San Francisco for quite a number of years. And when we moved up here, I couldn't get the signal. And then I found a guy in Wisconsin that made an AM antenna. And so I said, can I buy these from you and sell them? And so that's how we got started on KGO with Bill Wattenberg. And it took us a few months to get the hang of it. And then all of a sudden we started making sales. And the fact is, when I found the antenna, I was in heaven. And I told my wife,
as a radio junkie.
As a radio junkie, I said, I have to sell these on air. And she goes, you're crazy. And I said, I know, but I have to do it anyway. Well, they'll make nice dinner plates is what her exact words are. So that's how we got started. And we just learned our way. And then we got a call one day from a gentleman named Art Bell after a couple of years. And we started with him, had a great success with his show.
So that was the first national program that you guys were associated
he
with?
He was not national.
Oh, he was just still out of Vegas?
He was out of Vegas, yeah. KDW, okay. Yes.
Yeah, uh-huh. KDON, yeah.
And then it was just miracle after miracle after that. People, you know, we learned, we met people. They took care of what we didn't know and products we needed to have, et cetera, et cetera. So it was a huge learning process, and it still is, to be quite frank.
So you guys were doing radio. What got you into light bulbs?
That was Ralph. I'll blame Ralph for all that. Ralph, are you listening out there? Ralph developed the world's most efficient light bulb in the world in Little Fortuna. And I think the repercussions of that is we're still trying to grasp that. But it's the most light per watt of any light bulb. Now there's some catcher-uppers, but it took other companies 3 years to do that.
So he was just kind of dinking around in the back room?
He loves LEDs. We made the first LED flashlight in the world. We've done a lot of things like that in Little Fortuna. And I suppose it's kind of... It'll never be monumental. We don't care. We had a lot of fun doing it.
Jeez, just imagine the potential if you would have done it in Eureka. KINS, News and Information Times 423. Sorry, got to defend the hometown. We'll be back with more from Bob Crane.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 426. Boy, you better go slow out there. I'm seeing fog rolling in here off Humboldt Bay. Boy, haven't there been a ton of crashes?
There's
fatals?
Been,
I mean,
yes.
There was a fatal out of Shelter Cove this morning. I think it was this morning or last night.
The weather's bad, so I would go extra slow.
Yeah. Yeah, and check your tires.
Yeah, check your tires.
Make sure you got your tread there, too. Bob, as you're looking at the future, or Rosa, as you're looking at the future, not for the company, but of marketing the company, what do you see that's out there? Is social networking going to be the next big whiz-bang for you guys? Is radio really where you're going to stay and stay comfortable with? I'm sure the TV guys have tried to attract you, or some of the print options.
Yeah.
What do you see out there?
You know, that's such a great question, and I think to be really thoughtful, it has to be considered a little chaotic. In other words, you have all the social media, but is it really producing financial results for people? And you have to, especially with our type of product, and you say, no, it's not. It's not available right now. We have other computer products that we can put on a computer type internet store that will do well. But radio itself is somehow managing to stay there. And it's still managing to be, again, powerful and probably the most powerful place, niche, to express yourself. You know, what happens in talk radio is famous, obviously. And, but that, good or bad, it still gives you the power of the media. And I think that's still much bigger than people give it credit for. And I don't see it going away.
Inside the industry and outside the industry.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it's at a low point, possibly in some ways. But at other points, there's the other digital segment that's growing, you know, double every year. It's still at only a few percent, but it's still doubling every year.
Rosa, you're a little younger than others on this side of the counter. Oh, we'll just kind of link arms on that one. As you look at it, do you concur with what Bob's saying, or are you looking at your buddies and your peers going, ah, the old man's kind of full of hot air on this one. We're going to have to start looking at some of these other venues to reach an ongoing marketplace.
I think that for the product line that Seacrane carries, social media is not an area, I think, that is, like Bob had mentioned, is going to produce any kind of financial opportunities for us. I think we've gotten to the point in the company where we're proud of our product lineup, of the radios that they have developed, that the company has developed over the years. And we have something, I guess I'm going to brag a little bit. The company has something that, you know, a lot of other companies don't, and it's our customer service. And, you know, we're...
And isn't that weird? Because that's something you can do, anybody can do, bam, if the culture's there.
Right.
And the support is there, and the focus and the
exactly.
attention and priority.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think that, you know, where the company is now, just letting the listeners locally, nationally, whoever needs radio, just letting them know, hey, you need a radio, you know, to listen to your favorite station program. We're here for you. Give us a call. We'll help you find the radio that best suits your listening needs. And so with social media, we have tried. We've gotten our feet wet with it, and it really hasn't done much for us.
Boy, is that refreshing. Yeah, look at Aaron's smile. Yeah,
I mean, unless Bob disagrees.
No,
I think the questions here, I think it's good to raise the questions because I don't think anybody has any good answers right
well,
now.
One of my...
And your answer was perfect.
My challenge is, like with Facebook and some of these other things, is the lack of, not checks and balance, but checks.
Right.
There's the amount of horse manure that gets on a lot of different open sites is you have to be able to give that a fuzzy quotient that, oh, part of the site is going to be that. And you have to be able to judge that by going into it. Because, you know, we get involved with products like on Amazon, and we know that we can see reviews of other products. We're going, the owner wrote that one. You can tell it's writing style. Yeah. So everybody has to be able to. There's still Amazon's a great place to go for reviews, but you still have to be able to quantify in your own mind what's valid and what's not.
KINS News and Information Times 4:31. We'll be back with
now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lampus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 4:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bob Crane.
Bob or Rosa, I guess, I don't, whichever you guys are the ones who are making the call, why nighttime radio? Why not afternoon radio?
It's actually pretty simple. We started in AM, and the signal goes a long way. And so we pick up the audience, a huge audience, at nighttime.
But and now most local guys go, night? I don't want anything at night. Overnight? Are you kidding me?
Well, that's
no,
right.
No. I mean, that's the concept of 99% of all marketers in the country. They don't want anything after 7 o'clock, and they don't want anything on the weekends.
It's wrong. You have a certain segment of very loyal people.
It's wrong?
That's wrong. You have a segment of very loyal radio listeners that are up at all times, day and night. And probably you look at someone late at night, their full focus can be on your radio show. They can be a loyal audience that has listened every day for years at a certain time frame when they get up and let out the dog, like I do. But, and so also those ad rates, because they aren't looked at favorably, are lower generally across the industry. Not always, though. Some of them are pretty expensive. But so those are something you can go for. And as a small business, that gives you the window of opportunity to enter the radio market at low cost.
And obviously it works. Because you guys are still there.
Yeah, I think it's remarkable we're still here. I'm very happy that we're still here.
You're still stunned that you're still here?
Yes, I've been every time I get up in the morning.
So, being a big boy, being an international company, how do you guys stay normal?
I'll let Rosa do that.
I think it's the culture that we have at the company. If you've been down to see Crane, it's not your average corporate office. It's very laid back. You know, everyone, we're like a big family there. Everyone's friends. And it's just, we don't have that corporate feel, I guess. And so we're just ourselves. We're encouraged to be ourselves there. And
by design, Bob? Or is it just a reflection of your bride and yourself, and that's how you are, and thank you very much.
Oh, I think the discipline to do your job comes from within, not how you look. That's something that's very important.
Yeah, and how fortunate that is for us.
Yeah. And also, too, that I think when you're as busy as we are normally, that there's about 5% of what you're really supposed to do is not going to get done, and you have to be comfortable with that. So there's always something we have to do that we don't get done.
Something always on the desk for you in the morning.
Yeah, because it changes the next day, then there's another priority. See, it's probably similar to your job.
You mean you got fires that you have to play with or bombs that are going off?
Not too many fires.
Unanticipated?
There's minor ones, yes, that you got to do. Not too many big ones.
How challenging is it on the manufacturing part? Because a lot of us are either on the retail side or the service side, and the product is something we get from somewhere. Mm-hmm. Not something that we're involved with the manufacturing of, or like for us, I don't really have a tangible, so to speak, or like an insurance guy doesn't have a tangible. You guys have got that, but you also have to be looking at the production side of that.
You know, I'm going to be up talking in Arcata tomorrow at noon for a little help other small businesses to try and approach that problem. But yes, it is very complex. No, you can't really make things in the United States the way we used to. But you can do an awful lot here, and you can have things subbed out by different companies for a price that makes it possible for you to manufacture here. And to be quite frank, there is more opportunity for a person to start a small product, make it somehow, and sell it on the web, and get an extra $50, $100, $200 a day, and do it. There's more opportunity now than there ever has been in the history of man.
So as you guys are looking at the manufacturing equation on this, you mentioned that you can't do it in America.
Is
it because of labor? Is it because of rules, regulations? What's the biggest hurdle? Because I know it's a political football.
The biggest hurdle is something that probably I'll say this nicely. No one wants to sort out little nuts and bolts and put them together. That is the hardest thing to acquire in the United States, is a trained force that doesn't mind doing that type of menial work.
The repetitiveness of it?
Correct. If you're manufacturing at high volume, that's difficult to find that crew. At least it would be in Fortuna, for sure.
And they can't be automated.
Well, that's another problem, is that the automation, if you have a product that's good enough, you can go to automation in almost any product you can imagine. You don't need anybody. Or you need... You know, there's a disk drive factory in Japan that's a mile long, and it's run by 15 people. And they produce the most hard drives in the world. It's all automated.
That is just kind of a challenge. Have you been there?
No, I don't want to.
I'm just trying to conceptualize. Yeah, this is my 500 yards. yeah, that kind of... Oh, yeah. My turn to dust?
Yeah. So a lot of the jobs have been taken in the United States, not because of any other reason, is that the automation is now worldwide. Everybody has robots to do the bulk of their menial work.
When we hear discussions about import tariffs and export, most of us probably are thinking cars. You know, is this car coming in? Is it foreign? Is it not? How do they define it? How do they not define it? Do you guys run into any kind of a push at all when it comes to bringing the units from overseas into America?
You know, it doesn't make me feel good to bring in a product from Asia, but I know it's the best place to produce it right now, so I do it. But if I could produce a radio in the United States, we had. And if I think we're heading toward building our LED bulbs in America as we go forward, by the way. But do we have any kind of problems? With customs, there's a fee we pay. It's probably similar if the products go the other way. I think it's more difficult to get our products into China than Chinese products into here.
I've seen things indicating that. Was that nice?
Yeah.
Okay. I had a great topic for the fourth segment. I don't know what it is. Hopefully during the break I'll pop up with it. Oh, well. We'll get to that when we come back. KINS, News and Information Time. Is 441. We'll see if I can resurrect that idea when we come back.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 445. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon, this time with Rosa, a little bit more than with Bob.
Yay!
Rosa, do you see Bob and the senior staff as mentors?
Oh, yes.
Or are you kind of just having fun going along for the ride and learning and... I mean, is this a springboard for you to do something on your own?
No. Well, I'll say that, yes,
Big dream down the road. Yeah.
Maybe one day, right?
Okay.
But no, but, you know, I will say that when I was going to school, to HSU, you take all these business courses, you read all these books, you go through lectures about, you know, how to work in marketing, how to be a manager, how to do finance and all that. But while I was going to school, I was also working at Sea Crane, and Bob did give me the opportunity. I started off as a phone operator, and he gave me the opportunity to get into advertising and then marketing. And
so you kind of had connections for some of this stuff that was theory.
Exactly. And so then finally everything at school was starting to make sense. And so, yes, no, I, Bob with the law, along with others like Sue and Ralph and a lot of others at Sea Crane, I have learned a lot from them. And, yes, mentors and...
Bob, as the big boy, do you hope to have staff turnover as they go and chase their dreams?
As long as they're not competing, yes.
Well, yeah. You've got the corporate.
No, I've...
But I know there are a lot of small business guys.
Oh, absolutely.
Really enjoy the mentor elements of...
I'm at a time in my life when I'm encouraging it at every level I can throughout my company to step up and follow their dreams. And we have had a few people leave and follow their dreams. And if they do it the right way, they got my backing in every way, shape, or form. And that means all they have to do is be honest and do it transparent. And I'm having a great time.
Are there trade shows for whatever it is that Sea Crane Company is defined as?
We go to trade shows quite a few times a year on the wholesale basis to market our goods and also for talk show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So yeah. I know you guys you're warped because you play in the radio game a little bit. But no, I would say...
Radio people are smarter. They're just greater people. They know what they're doing. All that stuff.
Boy, he obviously thinks this show's going to go a whole lot longer than two more minutes. As you're at other with the manufacturing side of it, is the mentoring or the desire to mentor something that's commonplace, or do you see most of the folks really not interested in that?
If you saw the products that we have under development right now from three or four people down at our shop, you would be in awe. That's all I can say. They're developing products, and if they develop a product that, and do well with it, I love to share it too. So we have some great things going on.
Does the industry typically have leaders of the businesses doing that, though?
You know, I really don't know. I really don't know. We love it when someone comes up, and one of our girls that's out right now has a little website based on products we used to carry, but we had to drop because we didn't do that well with it. I think it's fantastic.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
It is.
Second tier,
yeah,
so to speak.
Second tier.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's not using your voice on that, is she?
I would if she wanted me to.
Yeah. Yeah, well, as I asked, she's not using your voice, is she?
No.
So where do you think this road is going to lead? Any idea?
You know, it's kind of funny, but I think I'm noticing, you know, I am getting older, and I think there is a cycle to life and to how things work, and I think radio might come back as strong as it once was, even AM radio, over the next 30 years. I think politics, we're in a cycle now that I think it's going to change and be different in 30 years. I think it's generational. I'm coming to believe that. So it's going to be very interesting in how things cycle through.
Rosa, you look comfortably under 50. Safe statement?
Very safe.
Okay. What do you think of radio?
You know, before I started working at Sea Crane, I told Bob, when I listened to the radio, it was usually on my way somewhere in my car. I just have it as background noise. And it wasn't until I started working at Sea Crane that I really got into talk radio. And as long as talk radio continues to raise questions and gets me thinking, I'll always be listening.
Okay. I've had enough conversation. They say, the young people don't. I'd say, no. If there's engaging radio, they're there.
Correct.
Now, it may define differently as you age through. Like, you know, Bob and his new format there, geriatric radio. Things change as you age. Guys, thanks
for
coming.
Call me Jerry.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
It's been wonderful.
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hugs when you love to see you tomorrow.